story, lighting a candle, reminded of God's presence, the presence of Christ with us in this time. So let us prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude. Welcome to Grace United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Here is where we celebrate and listen for the still speaking voice of God. And we're so glad that you can join us for these virtual worship services. And we're so glad that you all participate in this. We know it's different, but we are aware that God is still at work in these worship services, even though we get to be at the comfort of our own homes. So we give thanks also for our liturgist this morning, Jack, and our technology guru, Jim, and Perry, who provided the music this morning. So we want to lift them up as well. Across the United Church of Christ this morning, many churches are celebrating Open and Affirming Sunday, and we are joining them this morning in worship. And so to do so, I have brought a scarf that I got at UCC General Synod. And the point of these scarves people were creating was to promote anti-bullying amongst LGBTQIA people, especially amongst teens in schools. So I'm going to hang this up in my office. Just as a reminder and celebration today for Open and Affirming Sunday. So let us join together as Jack leads us into the call to worship.
How long, O Lord?
How long must your lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people hide, afraid to come out to wholeness?
How long, O Lord?
How long must our Black, Latinx, and Indigenous siblings bear the scars our legacy of white supremacy and racism have left on this nation, on this world?
How long, O Lord?
Before the lament we carry in our souls is heard and comforted.
Divine Beloved, we have trusted in your steadfast love.
Our hearts have rejoiced at the promise of your mercy and compassion.
This Open and Affirming Sunday, let us sing to the Lord our God.
Let us raise the songs of our ancestors, committing to walk in justice and mercy until all God's people are free.
Today's scripture lesson, the first lesson, comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Our second reading is Psalm 13, for the music leader, a song of David. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wits, agony filling my heart? Daily? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? Look at me. Answer me, Lord my God. Restore sight to my eyes. Otherwise, I'll sleep the sleep of death. My foes will rejoice over my downfall. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Yes, I will sing to the Lord because he has been good to me.
Amen. Jack, for reading our scripture lessons for this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard or eyes have seen. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There is something profoundly sacred about the stories we share and hear. Listening to someone share stories of their experiences offer us an intimate window into someone else's life. They invite you to see what they see, and sometimes feel what they feel. As expecting parents, Jessica and I have received a couple journals meant for us to write down our thoughts or anecdotes that are tied to this moment our baby will soon be born into. The journals are filled with prompts focused around our hopes for their future or things we have accomplished. Other prompts are more trivial, like this team won the World Series the year you were born, or this was the newspaper headline the day you were born. The idea behind recording these anecdotes is that our child will be able to read these stories when they are older, and for a brief moment, look at the world through our eyes at this time. Stories are profoundly sacred. As Christians, we know our lives can't be separated from God's presence and work in the world. So when we share our story, good or bad, we are sharing how God has shown up in our lives. What a marvelous gift to see all the ways God has reached out to us and others. I experienced that gift one day as I was having coffee with a mentor of mine at a church I was with. Now, I had known Kenneth for over a year, but there's something about sitting down and having dinner or having a drink with someone where you really get to know someone. In a series of get to know you questions, he asked me how Jessica and I met. After I was done, I asked Kenneth the same question. How did you meet your husband? A big smile stretched across his face. He lit up and began this epic story of how he met Ron. I got the feeling he had told this story a couple hundred times, so he had fine-tuned all the details so that they flowed beautifully into one another. He shared with me the first time he met Ron, the way Ron made him feel, the hobbies they had in common, the hobbies they really did not have in common. And then Ken got to a point in the story where his mood shifted, and he was less joyful. He reiterated how much he loved Ron and that they both wanted to get married. But just like it was here in Ohio, at this time in Missouri, gay marriage was illegal. Ken talked about the agony of not being able to marry the one he loved. And for the day he and Ron could finally and publicly declare their commitment to one another, they had to wait. I could sense in his voice the pain and grieving of being told your love was illegal. How long? For years they had to say, how long until we can get married? How long until we are guaranteed equal rights? How long? Psalm 13, which Jack read for us, is a psalm of lament. Of the 150 psalms in the Psalter, 66 of those psalms are categorized as lament, which is a specific genre of prayer that is directed at God, lifting up trials and sufferings of one's experience. The psalmist does not hold back in telling God exactly how they feel. Just like we confront friends and family when things aren't going right, so too are we called to voice our anger and frustration, even at God. Even Jesus on the cross cries out, O God, why have you forsaken me? Prayers of lament remind us to be honest in our relationship with God, especially when we are in crisis. Like Ken, the psalmist in Psalm 13 was facing a crisis in their life, and they were growing impatient for it to come to an end, and they were even angry that God's justice and help was nowhere to be seen. And this comes in the form of confronting God directly. How long will you forget me, O Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wits, agony filling my heart daily? How long will my enemy keep defeating me? How long? Each time the psalmist confronts God, it is with increasing intensity. God, you forgot me. No, God, you are hiding your face from me. God, you have left me all alone in my agony daily. And if you don't show up, I will be defeated. How long? Nearly all of us have asked or thought these questions in the past 3 months. During a global health emergency, surely a crisis that merits language of lament, many of us are growing increasingly agitated that things aren't getting any better. How long until I can see loved ones safely? How long until I can see my newborn grandchild? How long will I be furloughed? Or how much longer until I find a job? How long? And we want God's answer to be, next week, just hang in there. And we pray for a miracle vaccine to pop up, one that will take all of this away. But we know through experience that the world does not work this way. We know that God does not work this way. That is not to say God is not concerned and isn't trying to bring about healing to the situation. But we are impatient for things to get better right now. And many of us are frustrated at those who perpetuate the suffering by not being cautious. So as we hope in anticipation, we say, how long, God? The psalmist then turns from complaining and begins to protest straight to God. They begin by saying, and Jack did a very good job at this, look at me. This is not a quiet or submissive look at me, but in the Hebrew verb, it is an imperative, meaning with force. So they say, look at me. Answer me, Lord my God. Restore sight to my eyes, otherwise I'll sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I won. My foes will rejoice over my downfall. Have you ever been in a conversation where you felt that the other person was not fully present to you? Maybe you stopped and said, just listen to me. The psalmist wants to make sure, without a doubt, that God is aware of what they are going through. They are pleading that without God's intervention, all is lost and they will perish. We have heard this plea many times in our country's history. People demanding to be seen as fully human. People demanding to be treated like the child of God they are. They protest to their brothers and sisters, the very brothers and sisters that created laws that have excluded or harmed them, telling them, we can't breathe, or love is love. Their voices continue to speak their stories, stories that offer us a sacred window into their world. Look at me. Then the psalmist, perhaps through all this anger directed towards God, takes a very unique turn. The psalm pivots to say this, but I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Yes, I will sing to the Lord because God has been good to me. Biblical scholars believe one of two things could have happened. First, in the time after writing verses 1 through 4 and before 5 and 6, the psalmist was delivered from their crisis. Their prayer was answered and all is well. However, verse 5 and 6 allude to no changes in their situation. Other scholars argue that it was not a change in circumstance, but a transformation from within, a realization that God's steadfast love was never indeed absent, that God's steadfast love has prevailed in the past and surely will prevail again. Perhaps the crisis is not averted, but they are able to rest, knowing that God is helping and that they are going to be able to get through this. So to their question, how long? Well, maybe they haven't gotten to their destination, but God has provided a place for them to stay the night, a place that is safe, and enough for right now. Even in the midst of suffering and injustice, the psalmist trusts that God will find a way out of no way. Such language was made popular during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Speaking to a weary crowd fighting for equality, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke to these people in Montgomery, Alabama, saying, "How long? Not long. Because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long. Because you still reap what you sow. How long? Not long. Because the arm of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. How long? Not long. Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Kenneth and Ron waited to get married. They waited and waited. They lived together and cared for one another, but something was missing. June 16th, 2008, California legalizes gay marriage. Kenneth locates a UCC church that is open and affirming, calls the pastor and explains the circumstances. They board a plane to California, and within a day, they are standing in an empty sanctuary with a pastor they just met and the secretary from the office as their witness. Before the pastor begins the ceremony, she invites them to look out at the congregation and imagine all of their friends and family in the empty church pews. And I'll never forget this next part. As Ken is telling his story, tears fill his eyes. I could tell this is one of the happiest memories he has. And on that day, he married Ron. How long? Not long. Last year, Grace UCC voted to become open and affirming, and the words of MLK, bending the arm of the moral universe toward justice. Keeping in mind the struggle of LGBTQIA rights, confronting a legacy of dehumanization in our society, especially within the Christian church, you all voted to answer the cries of a community saying how long with not long. Grace UCC affirmed that it is a place where you are welcome just as God made you. This is a place where you will be met with love because that is who we believe God to be. In this church, we will walk together and transform hurt into healing, not just within the church, but advocate for the vulnerable beyond our walls. How long? Not long. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld to protect LGBTQIA rights in the workplace. A Supreme Court justice reported, "Today, we must decide whether an employer can fire someone simply for being homosexual or transgender." And they said, "The answer is clear." And then they cited language from the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Among one of the biggest advocates was Martin Luther King Jr. How long? Not long. So if you find yourself praying, how long these days? If you find yourself lamenting, first know this, it is a faithful prayer that God urges us to pray. Second, God meets us in our disparity, and in that presence, we are transformed. Where even in the darkest hours of our lives, we can pray the psalmist's words, "But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Yes, I will sing to the Lord because God has been good to me. Thanks be to God. Amen." And I invite you to join us for our hymn, which is "Help Us Accept Each Other." And feel free to sing along at home as we listen to the accompaniment. Amen. Now, as we turn to a moment of prayer, we have a couple things to lift up today in prayer. Some of you may have heard, but this week, Pastor Ralph Quellhorst, passed away earlier this week. So we keep him and his family in prayers, especially Pastor Mindy, who is her father. And I got an email this week from Eden Theological Seminary that sent out something to everyone saying that they're going to keep everyone in their prayers because he's very well known in the UCC. So we keep everyone in our prayers for healing in this time of grief. We have a celebration this Jim's daughter is turning 30. Jim's daughter, Erin, has her birthday coming up. And so we celebrate another year for her as she is getting older. Also want to lift up the joy of our open and affirming. We have been open and affirming at Grace for over a year, and we are still working on living into that covenant as it is something we will always continue to live into. But we celebrate with joy the fact that others today are worshiping and being reminded of that that covenant that we made. Also today is Jessica and my 6-year wedding anniversary. So we lift that up too for 6 great years. And our next one, we will have a child. So we'll probably report on that later. All right, well, if there are no other prayer requests, let us join our hearts together in prayer to God. O holy God, receiver of our prayers, sustainer of life, since the very beginning of creation, you gifted us with the choice to connect with you anytime, anywhere. You are not a God that prefers to be alone, but you constantly invite us to speak with you, to relate with you, to engage you in all matters of life. God, the Psalms reveal that even our deepest and most heartfelt laments are of great importance to you. When we pray, you listen, and we are open to being transformed by listening to you. How long, O God? How long until there is a vaccine for this virus that is wreaking havoc and death across the world? How long until our neighbors take seriously the implications of not wearing a mask or keeping a safe distance? How long will stubborn individualism intensify an already deadly disease? How long until we can safely be with our families and our friends? How long, O God? God, we know that this virus affects all of us differently. We pray for those communities that are hit hardest, the elderly, the autoimmune, Black and brown communities, women who are pregnant, those living in poverty, those without health insurance or who are underinsured, those who have lost their job. Healing God, hear our prayers. God, we pray for a nation that is hurting in so many ways. We pray for the dismantling of racism and white supremacy that continues to inferiorize Black and brown people. We pray for a peaceful resolve that will heal a nation from its many, many sins. God, we give thanks for the arc of justice that has led to non-discriminatory policy to protect the LGBTQIA community from being fired for who they are, and in doing so, protects us all from hate and prejudice that only divides. God, we celebrate on this open and affirming Sunday the faithful churches that did the hard work to establish a place of worship that is safe for the LGBTQIA community at a time when houses of worship are quick to invoke your name in excluding them. Thank you for Grace UCC in accepting this call. Help us to live into this call as we listen to the cries of those in our community. God, we pray for the Quellhorst family on the passing of Reverend Ralph, who meant so much to so many people. We give thanks for his ministry and his witness that helped forge a denomination in faithfulness to your call. We pray that your comfort and peace be with Pastor Mindy and all those who knew him. God, we also lift up all those people on our hearts this morning that are in need of prayer. For all those who say how long, reminded that you are present and that you are with them and us in our disparity. God, we pray this with hope in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We come to our part of our worship where give a brief reflection on giving. Our ministry at Grace continues. We had our church council meeting on Friday, and let me tell you, our leaders are putting in overtime, figuring out how we can open up safely, trying to figure out new ways to do that. And so our ministry very much continues. And so we thank all of you who are continuing to give, either online or bringing your offering into the church. And we invite you to think about your giving prayerfully these days, as we're seeing bills starting to build up. So give what you can and what you feel God is calling you to give at this moment. You're able to give by bringing it into the church, if that's helpful, or mailing it into the church would be preferable. Or you can give online, and there is a link that Jim will put into the chat bar, which he has already done because he is on it. And or you can go to our website, and there's a circle there called that says give on it. So you're invited to give in that way as well. So how will we do God's work in the world this week? This week I was reminded during our church council meeting, Joanna had said something to our group. And she had mentioned that one way we can love each other is to be safe, is to take the steps that we need to take to make sure that we're not spreading the virus. So one way we can do God's work is to make sure we're practicing what the CDC is telling us to do so that we can best care for our loved ones and our neighbors in this time. And something else we can do is to really listen to those sacred stories that are being shared in our world, especially from people who are saying, how long will we endure this? And know that God is up to something when we hear that. So I invite you to join us in our final hymn, which is What a Covenant. And I will make sure this box is checked so we can hear it a little bit better than the previous one. So as you go out into the world, leaning on the everlasting arms of God, who are with you always, even in those moments of lament, and assuredly with you now. So know that you don't go alone, but you always are with the Creator, with the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, always. Go now in peace. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for everyone coming to worship.
And I have unmuted everyone, so you can unmute yourself if you want to chat a little bit before we shut things down.
Have a good week, everyone.